So to you over the internet, to you in prison, to you here, grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and from His wonderful sweet Spirit. And may He take control. May He be glorified. And may the King, may you experience the King right here and right now as we talk. The theme of the sermon is to be continued, ... parenthesis, thy kingdom come. Because we're finishing the book of Acts, a great friend. I've taught this in Bible classes, been in the Bible class in Acts, but never learned what we've learned here with Pastor Rick preaching most of this. It started in the book of Acts, chapter 1, way back when we started this adventure and journey with Jesus spending 40 days talking to his disciples about the kingdom of God. And it ends with Paul talking about the kingdom of God and of Jesus. So here's my outline today, okay? The roadmap where we're going. It's what Paul said. It's the mode of communication. And it's how he said it. 3 points, okay? And I'm not going to go through all this, but basically there's some feeling by theologians that Paul was released at some point in time and then was imprisoned again when he was beheaded. And we don't know all that, but here in our text, Paul went to Rome, and Paul had a lot of freedom to preach the gospel, live in a house arrest, but it was very free. People could come and go. And when Paul was called by God on the road to Damascus, Jesus told him he would come before kings and leaders and influencers of the government. And he did that. And now he's in this house, and he's preaching and teaching to kings, and King Agrippa, and to Jewish leaders. And so 3 days after we got there, verse 17, Paul called together some of the Jewish leaders. He's talking to leaders here. He's talked to kings, emperors, and rulers, and now to Jewish leaders. He says, my friends, I've never done anything to hurt our people, and I've never gone against the customs of our ancestors, but in Jerusalem I was handed over as a prisoner to the Romans. They looked into the charges against me and wanted to release me. They found that I'd done nothing. I had not done anything deserving death. The Jewish leaders disagreed, so I asked to be tried by the emperor. But I don't have anything to say against my own nation. I'm bound by these chains because of what the free people of Israel hope for. So it's the hope of Israel, the Messiah, Mashiach, Yeshua, Jesus, is the reason he's in jail. He's the hope. The hope now and the hope then. Amen? And he talks about the hope that he had. And he says, this is why I've called you here to talk about this hope of ours. The leaders replied, no one from Judea has written us a letter about you, and not one of them has come here to report on you, to say anything against you, but we would like to hear what you had to say. We understand that people everywhere are against this new group. Here's Paul's opening. He's always looking for an opening, even if it's not there. He's looking for a chance to share the gospel, right? Verse 23, they agreed on a time to meet with Paul, and many of them came to his house from early morning until late in the afternoon. It wasn't a 15-minute sermon, sorry. From morning to late afternoon, so we're going to be here till about 3 o'clock, so how about you all join us here? But there's so much about the kingdom. There's so much that 15 minutes just doesn't do it to be fed with the Word of God. It's just, God is downloading so much of what He's doing, it's just amazing. But I digress, sort of. Paul talked to them about God's kingdom. He used the law of Moses and the books of the prophets to try to win them over Jesus. So here's the two things that Paul talked about here twice in here. He talked about the kingdom of God, and he talked about Jesus. And he says that there in verse 23, and if you jump down to verse 31, he says the same thing. Luke says he bravely preached about God's kingdom and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, and no one tried to stop him. So twice here, he talks about the kingdom of God and Jesus. God's kingdom and Jesus. And he talked about how he said it in two modes. So here we go. Put on your seatbelts. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you to download what you want to say, what you want these people to hear. Because you're the King. We bow before you. We worship you. We thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul talks about Jesus. And he says, Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need for the Savior, that Paul's main message, right, is Christ and Christ crucified and about the resurrection of Jesus. And he said, this is the first importance I talked to you in 1 Corinthians 15 about this, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised again according to the Scriptures. And it's all about Jesus Christ. Because why? Why is it all about Jesus? What do we have without him? God sent his Son, who's God from eternity, in the Old Testament, and Paul used the Old Testament to show it's all about Jesus, he's altered their own Bibles, the Jewish Bible. Jesus altered, that'd be another Bible study, I wish I could digress to that. Oh, it's a great Bible study. Jesus did on the word of this. Had heartburn on the disciples. Their hearts were burning when they found out Jesus is all of the Old Testament. The Bible came alive. By the way, has the Bible come alive to you? You need the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit that come alive, you can't get enough of it. It's just this hunger, and you want more, and you're filled, and you want more, and it's just an awesome, awesome, and there's no overeating addiction with the Word of God. You can't overeat it, and it just tastes so good. Amen. It tastes so good. The Word of God just feeds our soul, feeds our spirit like nothing else and no one else. And it's a living book. Well, Paul talked about this living book. Talked about Jesus all through that. Why about Jesus? It's God in the flesh. God sent His own Son. This is the gospel. We are a mess. We are hopelessly lost, spiritually blind, dead, and the enemy of God. The Bible says it. And no one will get in God's presence and get into heaven by their own good works. That has to be clearly said, because my own sinful nature wants to say, oh, but I'm pretty good. I did this, I did that. But God's holy and perfect, and no one can come close to His perfection, and no one can go to heaven without God's righteousness. So God had to provide a way, and that's what the Old Testament's all about, preparing the way for the one and only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, that He would come as a baby in a manger. He would live a perfect life, never living for Himself, always serving others, always giving, 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 but going to the mountain to receive from the Father, coming back down from the mountaintop and giving and giving and giving, and only doing what Jesus, the Father, wanted Him to do. And then the ultimate sacrifice of walking to Calvary and taking on the sins of the world and suffering horribly and dying on a cross for us and pouring out His life for us, but then 3 days later rising from the dead, conquering sin, death, and the power of the devil, and winning the battle and going to ascend to His Father 40 days later. And in the process, He talked to His disciples and He shared them what it's all about. The good news is this. We are lost. We're in a mess. But God did something about the mess. He gives us the robe of righteousness. He says, you are holy. You are perfect. But you know what? In one of our conference workshops, we talked about the fact we can know that intellectually, but if we've been scarred and hurt emotionally or spiritually, or especially our parents or someone have been real critical to us, and we've been abused, abandoned, rejected, we can know that up here in our heads, but even pastors and theologians and professors and missionaries cannot feel God's unconditional love and His grace and His mercy, that it's all about Jesus and He's taken all of our sins. And when He sees us now in Christ, He sees us as perfect and as forgiven, and as all our stains are washed away with sin. All of them. And so we did a little exercise. We said to those who don't feel this total, unconditional forgiveness and grace, and stand. And for those who were standing, they had, there was like 1,500 people there. The rest who weren't standing gave an applause to these people. They said, this is coming from God, His total acceptance and favor upon you because of Jesus. And you hear this applause, this is God's favor upon you, that you are forgiven, and we love you, and God loves you unconditionally. And it was very emotional, very moving to hear this thunderous applause for people who didn't feel forgiven, didn't feel worthy. And they said, it's all about Jesus. And all through the conferences, both of them, was all about Jesus Christ, that He is the one and only. He is the Savior of the world, and He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He's coming back for His church. So it's all about Jesus. That's the first one of the two things He talked about. Paul here, and we should be doing it too. We can never say enough, and we talk a lot about that. It's all about Jesus Christ. Well, what do we say in our mission statement? Love all people, not to some higher power, to Christ, the chosen one. Literally, that means the anointed one, smeared with the oil from the Holy Spirit, and so filled with the Holy Spirit that he never walked outside of the Holy Spirit. So Spirit-filled, He walked in it all the time, day and night, day and night. And, whoa, wouldn't it be nice to live that way in the Spirit, day and night, day and night, day and night, always walking in the will of the Father, knowing His ways and walking in the power and the joy and the comfort and peace of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus did. So anyway, it's all about Jesus. That's the first thing that Paul talked about, Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and He who sits at the right hand of the Father right now and is here now. The other thing He talked about was God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. As I said in Acts 1, it talks about that Jesus spoke for 40 days about the kingdom of God. It started in the garden, right? The Garden of Eden. And God gave authority to Adam and Eve, right? To have dominion over this and to rule over this earth. God says, okay, you're in charge here. And you can name all the animals, and just think of the creativity. Adam had to think up, just like that, all the names of all the animals, and remember them. You know, it's like, you're this, you're hippopotamus, which means river horse, and this, all the different names of all the animals, and managing this wonderful paradise was given for Adam and Eve and for mankind to have a dominion and subdue the earth and be fruitful and multiply, so that God's kingdom in heaven would come on earth, and God would use us to be his stewards of his kingdom. And everything was great until, you know what happened there, the fall of man, and we lost that dominion. And now we're in this broken relationship with God, but the good news is Jesus came to restore that relationship, and now he gives us the keys of the kingdom. He says, you are my ambassadors on this earth. You have the authority. And we don't believe that. We are chosen by God. We're forgiven. We're cleansed. And you have the authority, folks, not just the pastors. You have the authority to bring the kingdom of God wherever you go, because where you go, the glory goes. Where you go, God goes. And you can go to places that Pastor Rick and I can't go to, right? Excuse me. But look, I got my water here, but I got to use it. Excuse me. God's kingdom is here, and now that's what Jesus announced. Not just that salvation is here, but that his kingdom is here. He is in control. He is the Lord. And he wants his kingdom to go in every aspect of life. And one of our speakers, Lance Wellnow, came back to Mesa with this message that God wants us to get the kingdom of God out of the church and into the world, all the different spheres of influence in business, in entertainment, in sports, in the arts, in education, in the healthcare field. Wherever we go, God wants us to ascend to the mountaintop of each of those kingdoms here on earth and bring Jesus to that slice of life, that area of life that you have dominion. God has given you dominion. He says, I've got my people in every part, government, and the call of God is for us to get out of the church and into the world with the gospel, not be in the world, and not be in the world but not of the world, right? The problem is we become so much like the world, there's no difference in us. But we'll not talk about the fact that when we find our niche in life, when we find, and only 20% of Christians find their niche that uses your gifts, your passion, your education, your life experiences, and your character, and what makes your heart beat fast, what you love doing, to find that place on this earth where it's your slice, where God says, I want you to come into this area and bring my kingdom, my power, my ruling, my authority, my word, into that, my love, into that area of this world. And when that happens, when you find a place using all this, and you know that you're where you're supposed to be, there's nothing better on earth except heaven. But it's bringing heaven on earth. So the theme, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To bring his kingdom from heaven to earth. Jesus is not here physically. We are members of the body of Christ. There's one head, and he's orchestrating this, and he's got his people all over the world, bringing influence, bringing that yeast, and bringing life to different areas of government. Hollywood, there's more and more Christian actors going into Hollywood and are facing a lot of resistance and hatred and prejudice and scorn in politics and government, in business. Lance Wellnow talked about speaking to the heads of CEOs of major corporations. They said, quite frankly, Lance, you may have your kids in church, but we're discipling your kids for the world. And they talked about the clothing, the video games, the music is a definite plot and plan of influencing kids and not for the good. So we have to teach our kids that we're swimming upstream in all this that's going on. But wouldn't it be wonderful, like in Uganda, where there you have leaders in those areas of entertainment or healthcare. So you go to a public hospital in Uganda and they're piping in Christian music because you have Christians who are influencers that have the authority to say, this is what we're going to play. And if we can't ascend to those mountains of the different parts of the kingdom on this earth, to be with and support those who do go up to, because they face a lot of resistance. But imagine if God would bring his people into these leadership positions of different areas of our life, how life would change, where God's kingdom comes on earth and you have people that have integrity, that have honesty, that are loving, and you're coming to a business where there's principles, biblical principles, whether Jesus is mentioned or not, but there's principles, biblical principles in force. And you feel there's something different here. It's a slice of heaven on earth. That's what's going on. And some of the stories were amazing, what is happening in that area, in the area of prayer, which we talk a lot about here. We had a leader of a prayer movement who's the pastor of prayer at the Nikki Gumbel's church in Trinity in London, England, who came over. He's on a sabbatical and talked about 20-year-olds. Here in Phoenix, too, there were some who pray 5 hours a day on a Saturday, and they go out, and what's going on is there's this problem of human trafficking where these people go into malls and they find teenage girls that are alone, that have run away from home, that need love, and they give them some love and some acceptance and take them off, take them away, and use them as a sex trade. And it's happening here in our city, and it's happening in our country, and you don't even see it, and the numbers are staggering what's going on, and these parents never see these kids again, and it's an epidemic, and we don't even know it, we don't hear about it. But the church is rising up in San Diego and here, and these 20-year-olds have a thing called Street Light, where they're going into these areas and speaking to these kids and warning them, and having a place when kids have been caught in the sex trade to get them out, because they've been used as prostitutes at 13, 14 years old, and God is finding refuge where they can get their lives restored and repaired. And it's amazing what's going on in San Diego, and I guess it's just starting here. And that's a slice of God's kingdom coming to a very, very hurt segment of our population that's been forgotten and been brutalized and used. Talk about the fact that in Indonesia there is a prayer movement so great that they have a building in Indonesia 13 stories tall, and every floor is a prayer center. Every 13 stories of people praying for the kingdom of God to be released on the world. That's the kingdom of God. In Nigeria, they have a group of thugs that are very violent, that are so angry at the oil companies in Nigeria. Some have become the pirates we hear about, but others, they have a fraternity that's so brutal and vicious that they're set out to kill people and to torture them. And they are very brutal and very vicious. There are a group of Christians, a Christian man and a group under him, that feel their call to minister to that fraternity of death. And they come in with so much of the anointing of God's presence and power, fearless and bold but loving, and they love all these people, and they've even been imprisoned voluntarily, and so they'd be in prison with some of these thugs that were caught and witnessing them in prison, or they go to their headquarters, and this love is so overwhelming that these thugs don't know how to deal with it, catches them off guard because they've never experienced that, and they are converting some of these thugs to Christianity. There's a group in China that stood up 9 years ago that they pray constantly. And by the way, do you know what is the number one English-speaking country in the world is right now? China. There's more people speaking English in China than anywhere else. They also go, we owe them a lot of debt, too. But anyway, that's a whole other story. So make friends with them. But anyway, there's a group 9 years ago that felt this power come upon them, that the kingdom of God has to go to other places, and they have such a heart for the Muslims. But they are willing, and they want to witness to the most militant of Muslims, and they are willing to be persecuted, willing to die, willing to leave their families, and they are so anxious, and they're praying, and they're making their way. They want to go right to the Middle East. They want to go right in these pockets, these segments of the most vicious of Muslim terrorists, and love over them and bring them to Christ. This is what's going on in the world today. There are thousands and thousands and thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, who come into Christ every day in China, in different countries. In Brazil, there's this huge revival going on of those who have come from, who have been born into churches that are based on ritual and just formalism, and they don't have a heart knowledge of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's coming to these churches like fire, and they're just feeling God's presence and experiencing God, and it's people getting healed like here. And some of the speakers from that church spoke at a church conference I went to about 3 years ago. The point is, the Lion of Judah is on the move. And we may not feel as little church, but and like one pastor said, small is the new big. Have you heard like 60 is the new 40, which I love, since I'm getting there. I like that a lot. All right. And there's another thing, small is the new big, but God has small churches doing big things like here. It felt so encouraging to be hear this from people all over the world, the same thing, that don't get discouraged. Think about this. Noah building an ark. I saw Evan Almighty on vacation. I love that. But he's almost has a panic attack about what God called him to do, and he had to rely on God. But the Bible says that Noah preached 120 years and didn't get one convert, just his family. And he didn't give up because he had God's grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and I thought, I expect whining and complaining because we don't have a packed church or whatever. and 120 years building a boat, getting laughed at, and preaching about God's kingdom, and not one person out of the family. Imagine that. You're the only family in the United States as a believer. That's it. And you didn't give up. And one thing that the editor of Charisma magazine, I used to think it was a far-out magazine, kind of way too far out, and they've got this managing editor who is so awesome, Lee Grady, who's very balanced. He said, we've got too much kooky things going on that shows we need to go to the Word and the Spirit. R.T. Kendall used to preach in Westminster Abbey's Word and Spirit. Hey! Not that we understand that. Word and Spirit, having both. That some churches believe, well, Word, all theology, and no Holy Spirit, no power, no healings. Or there's so much in the healings and throughout the Bible, and that's wrong. But he quoted from Ezekiel, and he said, this is what happens. So we talk about the two things Paul talked about, Jesus and the kingdom of God, right? And oh, listen to this part. And he did it boldly. It says, well, bravely he taught, and the other translation says, boldly without hindrance. Paul explained the kingdom of God and Jesus. So how did he do it? He did it with boldness. In Ezekiel, chapter 1, Ezekiel had these far-out visions about God. It's like, well, just really crazy stuff. And in Ezekiel 1, it has this, one of these visions is this. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was like that of a man, but each of them had four faces, and four wings, a four-faced man. Four different faces in this vision, okay? It's a symbol of God's work in his kingdom. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had wings and faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead, they did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four, get this, had the face of a man, and on the right side of each had the face of a lion, and on the left side the face of an ox, and also each had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. So these were living creatures in heaven, but also if the effect of the kingdom of God, or the power of the Holy Spirit on people, we have these characteristics of these animals. You think about a lion. You think of boldness, right? You don't have a lion going, meow, can I come over here? Is it okay if I sit down here, Mr. Anteater? It roars, and it roars so loud you can hear a lion's roar for 5 miles, they said. 5 miles, that's a roar, right? It comes with power and authority. It says, here I am, you know, I'm the king of the jungle. And you will listen to me, and with that boldness of a lion. And then of an ox, plodding along with that power, pulling that plow or whatever, step by step. And I remember one time I was talking to Pastor Rick, and this bull came right up to me, face to face. Of course, there's this barbed wire fence with these big horns. I'm like, what are you doing in my pasture, pal? Get out, pastor. Get out of here. And it's breathing into the wind. I'm talking to Rick, and I said, Rick, there's a bull right here. And I think Pastor Rick has that bull anointing. Keep at it. I'm not going to give up with a drill ministry. I'm not going to give up a Bible study or Wednesday night service when you have like two people showing up. That perseverance of a bull. And then you have the eagle. Flies high and has the vision and soars above all the problem, all the smog of the world, and can look down and has a vision. This is where God wants us to go. This is the way for God today. So that's the effect it's talking about here, when you're having these people that are willing to die for the faith, to go to Islamic countries, and are willing to give up everything. A guy going into this fraternity of death, and just loving on the people, having no fear. And the speaker talked about this, about the ox. It's like an ox in a corral waiting for the bull ride, for the rodeo to start, and let out, and it's like, let me out, I can't wait. And these people in China are that way. They're waiting on God for the right time to be released to the right place, with the kingdom of God to be brought to that area. Waiting. He said, Paul, I can't wait to go to Rome. I can't wait to go to Rome. But he was going to wait for the right time. And then when that is opened up, the bull comes out, and I'm ready. I am so ready. And bold as a lion. And that's what Paul was, right? And God wants to dispense that same anointing to the kingdom of God. So that's how he communicated. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the kingdom of God. He did it bravely. In two ways, finally, as it closed, he communicated. And Paul says at two different places here, he talks about preaching and teaching. That Paul preached about Jesus, and taught about the kingdom of God, and even vice versa. Teaching is this. It's giving you truths from Scripture about the presence of God, about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so you know about them, about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or about the kingdom of God, just facts about the kingdom of God, I wish I had more time to talk about it. That's teaching. Preaching, and what's changed my ministry, is proclaiming those truths now, here and now, and proclaiming it to people that this is here and this is now, and we're proclaiming that Jesus, not just talking about his presence, Jesus is here now. Jesus is speaking here now. Jesus wants to dispense his love, and we went through exercise of the most painful moments of our childhood and asked the Holy Spirit to come in those traumatic moments of our childhood that we still carry with us, that keeps us from being all we want to be as a man or woman of God, and bringing the Holy Spirit, bringing Jesus to that moment, and the Father's love, unconditional love, to that painful moment so we aren't stuck there. Because a lot of men that talk about, a lot of men have a blockage with God, intimacy with God. We think it's not manly to cry and fall down and worship God. And they talk about getting rid of these barriers, that it's okay to be a David that dances before the Lord and that kneels before him and is passionate and cries out. So that's preaching and proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. And before we close, we're going to have a song that we're going to worship to with. What I love is God's presence, and he is here in Ranton right now. So if you close your eyes, I have no idea how long I've gone. Jesus is here. I proclaim you, child of God. First of all, the Father loves you unconditionally. No matter what you've done in the past, Jesus has taken away your sins. You are cleansed. You're forgiven. And you don't have to live in the shame and the guilt of the past. And I don't either. And that Jesus has come to this earth, and he's died on the cross for your sins and rose again triumphantly, and he's conquered every enemy that you face or will face. And that Paul writes, and I declare to you, that nothing can separate you from the love of God, neither life nor death or angels or demons, the present, the future, anything in all creation can separate you from God's love. Anything that happens tomorrow in the future, God is with you, and no one can separate you from God's love. I proclaim to you that Jesus is King of this universe, and that he is at the right hand of the Father, and one day all of us will face judgment of God. But if we come under the blood of Jesus, we'll be cleansed and forgiven, and Jesus and God won't even see our faults. But he is King. Whether it feels like it or not, he is in control of this universe, he's in control of this earth, he's in control of your life. I declare that to you, that he is your ruler, he is your King, but he's a loving King. So I ask you right now to see Jesus with his North Star hands reaching out to you in love. Total love. Total love. Total forgiveness. Total acceptance. And see him in all his glory, brighter than the brightest of suns. See him in all his power. See him with this incredible love in his face and peace and joy like you've never felt. And see him reaching out his hands to you. And see yourself reaching out to him, holding his hand and sitting on his lap. And what does Jesus say to you? What do you feel? He is the King. He gave up everything for you and me. And these are exciting days for the church. What's going on in the world is amazing. And he wants you to be part of his kingdom. He's saying, he's giving you a key, not to this church, but to the kingdom. He says, it's not just for Pastor Rick and Pastor Perry. Will you be part of my kingdom? Will you take my kingdom to your area of life? Will you follow me? Can I be your master? Can I be your king? Because he won't force his way, and the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll fly away if he's not wanted, but when he's wanted, he comes in with sweetness and power and light and life. So Jesus, we bow before you. This is your church. And may your grace still be amazing to us. And may we share that amazing grace to others. And Jesus, in this song, I ask, Lord, that you would receive our praise and worship, because it's not about us, it's about you. In Jesus' name, amen.